First Peter. We're talking about Satan's war machine. We're going to get right back into it. There's nothing that gives me greater joy than to unmask the power of our enemy, to share with the body of Christ the things that are necessary to become aware of his tactics. In 1 Peter chapter 5, 1 Peter chapter 5, and let's go to verse 6. 1 Peter 5, 6. Humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time, casting all your care, your anxiety, your fears, your worries upon him, for he careth for you. Be sober. Be vigilant. Because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about, seeking whom he may devour. Whom resist steadfast in the faith, knowing that the same afflictions are accomplished in your brethren that are in the world. This is a very powerful statement, what we just read. First of all, in verse 6, he gives us something that's very interesting. He gives us an understanding of what humility means. The church has the wrong concept of what true humility is. True humility is submitting to our Redeemer, submitting to the mind of Christ. And notice it says that in this humility, you're to therefore humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God. Now the word mighty hand of God is a very interesting word. This word is the Greek word kratos. Kratos. If you put demos in front of it, demokratos, which literally means a ruling power. And so when you humble yourselves and you submit yourselves under this mighty hand of God, literally means you're submitting yourself under his rule and his authority. You know, what grieves me more than ever, not only I might rebuke you today, but not only rebuke you, but I rebuke myself. Because we're living in an environment that, in as bad as the economy is, we're living in an environment of prosperity. We have the greatest options of any other nation to turn and rely upon the arm of the flesh. America is really a prime example of that. We have the option to rely upon the arm of flesh. And that wisdom comes in such a way that we now bring that wisdom that's not of God, that's not under the ruling power of God, we bring it into the church, and then we look for options for God to walk in that he didn't even spell out in his word for us to do it. And one thing that Paul the Apostle made it very clear, the church should have no confidence in anything that's of the flesh. But yet we have been told that we can have the option. Well, the only reason that kind of doctrine got into the church anyway is because the church has been permeated with little faith. And there comes a time we all have to grow up. We have to take responsibility that has been given to us of the Lord for his glorification and his example. The greatest killers that's gotten into our hearts and minds, the greatest killer is statements like, if it be thy will. Well, God understands our hearts, so therefore we can go to alternatives. Well, you know, sure, we can go to any alternative we want to, but really what we need to get back to is the basis of the fact that the reason we can go to alternatives, and this just colored as it truly is because we don't have enough faith to really trust God, so we use the alternative. Yep. There's got to come a standard where we're going to rise up as a church and get under the ruling power of God, no matter what it costs. But the problem is, we don't want to really be all that dedicated for the cost. I have a cry in my heart. I want to go beyond where I'm at this year with my Lord. Now, we read here in 1 Peter that we have a devil that seeks to devour. You know, the word devour means to gulp down. One who's extremely thirsty and he wants to gulp us down. And I've found that when the true word of God is sown, Satan comes immediately to where the true word of God is sown. And he'll use all these tactics he can to get us off the word of God on a daily basis. He uses everything he can. And one of the ones that he uses so heavily, is the cares of this world. The cares of this world have the power to remove faith. It does have the power to remove faith. And we have to deliver ourselves of that care daily. Not every other day, not weekly, not monthly, daily. Jesus even said it's a daily thing. We think it's an every other day thing. We think it's a weekly thing, a monthly. No, it's a daily thing. You have to stay on top of things daily. How do I know this? I've experienced it. If I don't keep my mind on Him, there is no peace that keeps me in. There is none. Why? Because if I take my mind off of Him who is able to keep me in perfect peace, then I find frustration, I find care, and I find worry. And the devil loves to go about looking for these kind of people. Another sickening thing that's gotten into the church is, well, we'll just throw it over on the Lord. After all the glory goes to Him. Sounds so sweet. But I'm going to tell you, that sweetness can bring death. The responsibility has been given to the church because the accomplishment of our victory has been complete in Him. He finished our faith. He finished it. God's been dealing with me more recent now than ever is that if He has got any handle in my life, I got to do everything I can to get His hand off of that handle. Mm-hmm. It said, be sober and vigilant. For the devil goes about as a roaring lion. Now I want to ask you something. What would that indicate if He didn't say, be sober and be vigilant? Well, first of all, a person that's not sober is because he's intoxicated to the point there's no reality to where he is. And another thing, if that's the case, then how can he be vigilant? A drunk man is not vigilant at all. Matter of fact, he's so kicked back and laid back, he can drive down the road at 100 miles an hour and kill somebody and not think nothing of it when he's still drunk. But the sobering part about that is when he wakes up from his drunkenness, the reality of what he caused comes to life. Well, he tells us how the devil is. And you know something? Listen, people. The devil, if he knows you're receiving the word of God, he's going to perch on your rafters and pay attention to you until he knows that he has the opportunity to gulp you down. And when that day comes on you and you have to scratch for your life, what are you going to do about it? Well, thank God we got an answer in the word of God. You know, I said, Lord, what about a lot of these believers that have fallen asleep in you? They look no different than an unregenerate man. And all of a sudden they get hit with something. And God said, I'm going to tell you something. Even if they have little faith, if they would just do one thing, even if they have little faith, if they would just do one thing, be obedient to take a weapon and use it against him. If they would just do that, it'll work. If they would just do that. But a lot of us don't know how to release our faith. We think there's options to releasing our faith when the world says, you're finished. You know something? I'm just going to be bold here today. If you're diagnosed with a terminal illness, I pussyfooted around with this kind of wisdom for long enough. I'm seeing it's not working. Go to the doctor and trust him. God told me, you've just taught them how not to release their faith. Because if you go to a doctor and the doctor says you are terminally wrote off, and you sit and listen to them, they'll give you a false hope. They'll give you a false hope. I just read a letter from a friend of mine, an evangelist friend, and he said he went to the doctor because he was feeling poorly. He's an evangelist. And he said, they diagnosed me terminal. They said you had cancer, but you can go for operation. And you can do this and you can do that. But you got to get operated on, going to chemo and everything. And so he went home and this cold chill settled over him. And finally something on the inside of his heart said, who said they're the final authority? Who said they're the authority? Who said that they're the final authority? Who against hope believed in hope? You see. I had a dear sister who got on home to be with the Lord, lied to me. And I compromised and said, go ahead. But it was predicated on the information she gave me. But if she'd have told me the truth, I wouldn't have told her to do what she did. And you know how I found out about it? Her doctor. I was in the room there with the family and her boyfriend. And the doctor came in. And she died a horrible death. But her body was just rabid with cancer. And I'm sitting there, and the doctor, he started saying some things that caught my attention. And I looked at him and said, wait a minute. You mean you advised her not to take this operation? He said, yes. And I says, why did she take it? And he says, I have no idea. He said she might have lived for another 3 or 4 months, but she wouldn't have died this horrible. But he said, I tried to advise her. You know what it's like when you stand alone in death? Nobody's there but you. Your pastor is not there. Your church is not there. Your friends is not there. Your married ones, not there. You are standing alone in reality to life or death. And I sat there and I shook my head. And I looked at him. And I said, you mean to tell me that you told her not to do this? He said, yes. I left that hospital grieving. All because I wanted to be a kind little pastor. And agree with that mess. I thought something was funny. When we went into the chapel before she went into the opera, something, there was like an inner witness in me. Don't go this route. Don't go this route. But you see, I just thought that was my head. Because see, I'm not walking in her footsteps. Are you following me? When you're under that kind of pressure, you're alone. Mm-hmm. Listen. When the doctors diagnose death, they don't have the power to reverse it. They'll give you a hope, but it's false. So Gary, you know what he did? He said he opted to go none of the operations, he decided to go with God, and he spent hours on end in the Word of God, looking up scriptures, meditating on them, confessing them, walking the floor. He said he opted not to go with no operations. He said it probably wouldn't do any good anyway. And he said the doctors, they gave their word, but God has His word over their word. And he said the reality hit him, and he walked the floor, and he started doing the right things. He didn't tempt God. He started eating the right things, and he started exercising and refusing to die, and got into the Word and began to confess it and began to move with it, hallelujah. And he felt an energy and a strength begin to take a hold of him. And one day he walked in, and the doctors gave him a clean bill of health. Clean bill of health, and they don't even understand how or why. God is no respecter of persons, but God, you can have favor with God. And favor with God means you are respected of God when you take Him at His word.
Right. Amen.
And the church has been told that if you have grain, if you have enough faith as a grain of mustard seed, you should say that yonder mountain should be plucked up and removed. Wrong. It does not say that little mustard seed faith moves a mountain. It says it's as a mustard seed. It's got to grow. It's got to shoot branches. It's got to become a tree. Hallelujah.
Yep. Amen.
See. Well, how is faith developed to where it's strong faith? Daily.
Amen. Yep.
Daily. Well, how do I know? Because the devil walks about daily. He don't take vacations. We might, but he don't. And then they sit and turn up with these concocted doctrines that don't mean a hill of beans. And sit there and say, well, you know, sister so-and-so, you know, and this and that. The witness of men, let it be a lie, but let God be true.
Amen.
Glory to God. Stand in the presence of that devil and just refuse to go his direction. Have the mind of Christ.
Right.
Hallelujah. Now, notice this. Casting all your cares upon Him, for He careth for you. Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, walks about looking for whom he can gulp down. Somebody says, well, if he understands my tongue, it doesn't matter whether he understands your tongue or not. He understands your life. He understands your actions.
Yep.
Now, I'm angered because there are some people in my life right now, it doesn't look like in the natural that they're going to make it because they've been hit with something that makes it very difficult to deal with in their life. And you're sitting there and you're so frustrated because you know they can come out of this, but the authority is in their hands, not God's. And you're sitting there, oh, if I could just get them to understand. The authority is in the church. Heaven backs it. Because they're the backer of that authority. But it operates in the earth. I want you to turn over to Hebrews chapter 2. Satan loves your complacency. Why? It's his opportunity for your death. Therefore, verse 1 of Hebrews chapter 2, we ought to give the more earnest heed to the things which we have heard, lest at any time we should let them slip. For if the word spoken by angels was steadfast in every transgression and disobedience received a just recompense of reward, how shall we escape if we neglect so great salvation, which at the first began to be spoken by the Lord, and was confirmed unto us by them that heard Him. God also bearing them witness both with signs and wonders and with divers miracles and gifts of the Holy Ghost according to His own will. Now, if you will, I want us to go over to 2 Corinthians chapter 10. And in 2 Corinthians chapter 10, Paul says, for though we walk in the flesh, verse 3, We do not war after the flesh. Our strategy is not according to the flesh standard. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds, casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ, and having in a readiness to revenge all disobedience when your obedience is fulfilled. Do you look on things after the outward appearance? If any man trusts to himself that he is Christ, let of himself think this again, that as he is Christ, even so are we Christ. Now let's stop. He's saying some powerful things here. He's dealing with reasonings that get into the mind. And these reasonings have the power to exalt itself, notice, against the knowledge of God. And Christians have been duped into this, not realizing that a reason, unless it is accompanied by the Word of God, it is a reasoning you don't need to deal with. You've got to cast it down. And notice he didn't say here anything about faith at all. He was talking about when reasonings have a voice, be obedient to a weapon that will destroy those reasonings.
Amen. Yes.
A lady was told, "You're finished. Terminal cancer." She got in the face of the devil and said, "I'm going to give you notice today." It so shook her up. "I'm not going to a doctor for any cure, just for information. But when he gives it to me, I'm going to act contrary to that information. Because as far as I'm concerned, the information came from you, devil." So she went to the doctor. The doctor said, "Yeah, it's bad, but we can do something about it. We can use chemo. It's in its early stages. There's hope there." She said, "Thank you, doc. That's all I need to know." And she walked around her coffee table and over again took some precious promises of God and quoted them to the Father and said, "Father, I just want to let you know how I have already received my right to my healing because I am a member of the body of Christ, and no sin shall have its operation in any member of your body, and I refuse to die. I am going to live, and I'm going to give the testimony of this victory to as many people as I find." And she kept confessing that, going around that table. And one day she got healed. Oh, really? Yeah, she got healed. Oh, really? Yeah, she got healed. Hallelujah. Well, they said, "Boy, she must have strong faith." She turned around. She said, "I'll tell you what." She said, "There was fear going off in me. Bells and whistles and panic buttons and everything." "What do you mean, strong faith?" I didn't even know I was in trouble. She said, "All as I was is obedient to the Word of God, and that's all I had to go on."
Yeah.
She said, "But I'll tell you what, since I've experienced my obedience, I got a lot more faith now." See, a lot of us never give God a chance in our life. We have to wait for the big one to hit us. Now we're really healthy. Why don't you start believing for the little ones? For God. It's a good way to condition yourself. Take just as much power to do a little one as a big one. Same source, same information. Hello? Now, I want us to go over to Matthew chapter 8. In Matthew chapter 8, go to verse 22. And I'm going to give you a little secret here about how to know whether you're going to be strong enough when he hits. But Jesus said unto him, "Follow me and let the dead bury the dead." And when he was entered into a ship, his disciples followed him. Behold, there arose a great tempest in the sea, insomuch that the ship was covered with the waves, but he was asleep. And his disciples came to him and woke him, saying, "Lord, save us, we perish." And he saith unto them, "Why are ye fearful, O ye of little faith?" Then he arose and rebuked the winds and the sea, and there was a great calm. But the men marveled, saying, "What manner of man is this, that even the winds and the sea obey him?" Isn't that interesting? Jesus, evidently he was pulling a con game on him. I just said, put this little story in the Word of God to let you know that I'm still in control. You know, you hear that so much, well, God's in control. Yes, He is. He's in control through His body in the earth.
Right.
He is. He's in control in His body in the earth. Well, it's a done deal in heaven. Whatever needs to be bound on earth is already bound in heaven. And whatever needs to be loosed on earth is already loosed in heaven. Kingdom of God already provided everything for it. It's a completed done deal.
Yep.
Trouble with Christians are they're taking too many Sabbaths, but the wrong kind.
Yep.
You take the wrong kind of Sabbath, you're a dead man. Now, I want you to notice something here. The term little faith. Oh, ye of little faith. Now, was Jesus really saying, why are ye fearful? Or was he just talking words? In other words, he expected them not to be fearful. Why? Because in one passage, this same one, it said he expounded all things to them. He expounded all things to them. Then they get into a ship to go to the other side, and this big storm comes up. He has to rebuke it and turns around, and he rebukes them. Why? He gave them enough information for them to act on it themselves. Oh, ye of little faith. Now, turn over to Matthew chapter 14, real quick like. In Matthew chapter 14, and let's go to verse 29. And he said, come. And when Peter was come down out of the ship, he walked on the water to go to Jesus. But when he saw the wind boisterous, he was afraid and began to sink. And he cried, saying, Lord, save me. And immediately Jesus stretched forth his hand, caught him and said unto him, O thou of little faith, wherefore didst thou doubt? Distasio. You know what that means? It means it suggests hesitation between two opinions. Jesus said, come. Now let me ask you something. If that was you, when you were seeing Jesus walking on that storm, would you continue to walk or would you do it, Peter? I can truthfully say in my heart, the way I feel right now, I could be self-deceived. But if I looked at the storm and I saw Jesus walking, I wouldn't be like Peter because I'm a born-again child of God. I have the mind of Christ in me. I have the Spirit of Christ in me. Hallelujah. I would have said, doesn't matter, Jesus. I see you. I'm coming to you. And I would have continued to walk. I can truthfully say that. If I saw Jesus walking on that water and he told me to come, I would go.
Amen.
Well, you're just saying that because you're a pastor. No, I'm saying that because I'm a child of God. Pastor is secondary.
Amen.
Pastor is just a place of servanthood. Child of God walks on water, not an office. Child of God walks on water, not a pastor.
Yeah.
Child of God walks on water, not an apostle. Child of God walks on water, not a prophet. Child of God. Pew setter. That's what walks on the water. Glory to God. Hallelujah. 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 Let's go to 16, Matthew 16. Let's go to verse 8. It says here, which when Jesus perceived, he said unto him, O ye of little faith, why reason ye among yourselves because ye have brought no bread? He's talking about, you already saw a miracle where I fed people before, now all of a sudden you're scrambling, where are we going to get something? Well, you got to be real dense. While they were spiritually dead, that's why they didn't have that reality in them.
Right.
And then Jesus goes down and he talks about how the church is going to be built for the gates of hell shall not be able to prevail against us. And then he goes and tells us how that's going to happen in verse 24. Then said Jesus unto his disciples, if any man will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. There's the big problem. Well, what self do you deny? For whatsoever shall save his suke, his mind shall lose it. And whosoever shall lose his life, suke for my sake, shall find it. For what is a man profit if he shall gain the whole world and lose his own soul? Or else what shall a man give in exchange for his soul? He gave us the key how the gates of hell will not prevail against us. Why? We got to do something with our head. How are we going to do something with the devil? No! You'll do something with the devil if you do something with your head. The devil wants your head. God wants your spirit to deliver your head.
Amen.
Now, if you notice here, it says here, this same passage you'll find over in Luke 9. So turn to Luke 9. I'm going to be closing. Over in Luke 9, you're going to see the same passage mentioned. And we're going to see something added to it that the other writer put in there that was not put here. In Luke 9, let's go to verse 23. And he said unto them all, if any man will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow me. I want you to underline daily. 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 For whatsoever shall save his life shall lose it, but whosoever shall lose his life for my sake shall save it. And you know what God told me about this daily thing? If you give your mind over to the devil daily, and then a frequent God in this daily refusal, you know what he's saying? The same mind that doesn't do it daily is the same mind that has to believe God.
Yeah, exactly.
Uh-oh. There ain't anything big enough in this world, people, big enough in this world to take me daily from my Lord.
Hallelujah.
Used to be that way when I started this ministry. No more. I learned my lesson. I learned my lesson. No more. No more. Daily. My dedicatedness is to God first. Daily. No more. No more of this trash. I'll say a bad word. Crap. No more of this crap will I put up with in my life. And that's what it is. Just crap. Oh, it's 32 minutes. I'm off TV. Praise God. I keep forgetting about TV. And that's all it is. It's just good for the dunghill. I ain't going to let my flesh have its way anymore. Am I going to run my day today? Yes, after I consult my Lord first. Now, wait a minute. You know they ain't doing it. Shut up, flesh. We're going to consult my Lord first before I even begin to embark on this day. Because I don't want the devil pass by me and see the same mind operating in me that it was operating in me the following day. Because he'll come and he'll just spark something in my body. You know what Satan's prize possession is? Death. If he can't get you spiritually, he's going to take you out physically. Why? He don't want you to expose the light of the glorious gospel. He wants to keep your brain in darkness so he can have his way in your life. Now, little faith. See, if I had little faith, I could do something. No, you don't want this kind of little faith. You know this word for little faith is actually one word in the Greek. Just one word, but it's made up of two. The word little faith means puny persuasion. It means short conviction. It means brief, inconsistent confession. The word little means puny. And the word faith is the Greek word pistis. This word literally eventually goes into have the mind of Christ, to think like him. That's great faith. I'm preaching myself into a sweat. You guys better bring some victory trophies this next week. I'm going to weigh my sweat according to your victory. You cannot cut back on the devil. He has no good days for you.
True.
The day you slack on God is the day he picks up and going to take you out the next day.
Yeah.
Why? Because it's a daily walk with God. It's a daily walk with God. It's not an option. It's not putting God on the sidelines. It's keeping him daily in front.
Yep.
Why? Because we don't get a break from the devil.
True.
I wish I could wake up one day and God say, kick back, brother. You don't have to pray today. You don't even have to go to church today. Why? Devil's on vacation. Really? Yeah, you can go and flesh out today. Really? Yeah, you can even sin and get away with it today. He's on vacation. Well, some Christians conduct their life like that. So where are they getting that kind of language? You know, brother or sister so-and-so, you had a bag with, 20 communions ago? Yeah, today you can really mouth off on them. What? The devil's not here. Now, wait a minute. If the devil's not here and I'm allowed to do all that, what is that? What are you telling me? You're on your own. You're just as bad as he is. The same mind that puts a slack in you for the things of God is the same mind that you've got to work with to get the monkey off your back if he comes. Jerry Langley. Jerry, he gave his testimony. Remember that, Jerry? That's something I said on healing. He got healed. Was it a year and a half now? Year and 1 month. No more seizures.
Hallelujah.
Why? Because he got a revelation. What was the revelation that you got? I'm not going to get healing. I am healed. Do you know some people operate their faith that way? I believe I'm going to get it. You ain't got it yet. No, yeah, I know. It hasn't manifested yet, but I believe I'm going to get it. No, you ain't going to ever get it that way. What do you mean? It says you're supposed to believe that you shall have them. It didn't say believe now that you got it and you won't have to worry about the shall. It says you believe that you got it now and you shall have it. Meaning, the faith operates now and the shall follows.
Yeah. Right.
So you got to wait for the shall to believe. You know what the shall for believing means? It means you're shallow. You know, I tell you, I hate the mind of flesh. First of all, it has a mouth that goes off at the same time God's Word does. Romans 8:7 says that. Contemporaneous action. The minute the Word of God is heard, your carnal mind has an automatic voice to it.
Yep.
And some of us, we just walk around and listen to that voice. You know what, Mr. Butler? Yeah, you can kick off today. You don't have to do anything about your faith. You're just a man of God, you know, and... Why? Because that carnal mind doesn't like spiritual things. Why? It don't know how to make contact with them. My carnal mind does not know how to believe God. Why? He only lives in the realm of the senses. Did you guys get something today? You see, faith does not speak on this why. I'll ascend into heaven. That is bring Christ down from above. No, 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 no. Faith is, it's done. My Sabbath is that I will labor to enter into a rest. Can you imagine the devil hitting you with a test or a trial in life and you have to sit there and labor to enter into a rest? Well, it seemed like if you're in a trial, that's when you got to do something about something. No, it isn't according to your works that you're going to get out of it anyway. It's according to His works. So you got to learn how to labor to enter into His rest. See, some of you are faced today, not necessarily with terminal things, but several of you in this body have something that you're wrestling with in the natural. If it ain't sickness or disease, I guarantee you it might be relationships or whatever it is. You know what? Today is the day of yourself. Today you can get free from it. Not tomorrow, today. Everybody stand up.